Greetings, everyone. Welcome to The Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry. As we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager, your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Voyager actor, Garrett Wong, who in 2009 played Henry in the short film The Ride, and myself, your favorite helmsman, Robert Duncan McNeil, a.k.a. RDM, Robbie D. McDunk. Remember, you can get the full version of this entire podcast, all the bonus material, lots of cool extra stuff, when you sign up to become a patron at patreon.com/TheDeltaFlyers.
Wow. I'm just going to say, your intro.
Yes.
This is the first time you've pronounced, and I've never pronounced it this way. When you introduced Welcome to the Delta Flyers,
yes,
you put the emphasis on the article. You went, yes, Welcome to the Delta Flyers.
Like the Voyager. Like,
yeah.
Like the Voyager.
All right. All right.
It's the Delta Flyers.
It See, is. It's Delta Flyers.
Yes.
Okay.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, Henry in The Ride. Oh my gosh, that's that's deep, deep, deep cut there.
Yes.
Yes. What that was I got an email from a kid who was in film school in New York City, and he was like, "Hey, this is my graduate school thesis film kind of thing."
Yeah, those are big deals. Actually.
And he's like, "I don't know if you would even be interested, but I don't have any money to pay you. I can get you your hotel, and that's about it. So you'd have to fly yourself out." And at that time, I was already flying a gabillion miles a year already. So to me, it was like, "Eh, sure, no big deal. Let me help this kid out." So I did. I flew to New York City on my own dime. He paid for the hotel, and I shot for one day, basically, on his short film,
on a short film
project. Yeah, and it was basically about a bus ride where the bus driver was kind of collecting souls, basically. Mm. Like, so basically, as the bus kind of stops and someone gets on, it's somebody who's passed away, basically. It's their spirit getting onto the bus. So I was playing one of the deceased people, essentially riding the bus. So
Very cool.
Yeah.
I love thesis films at film school. The creativity, the imagination, they're really great. I used to go back when we were doing Star Trek, I would go down to the graduate screenings of the USC film school students, their short films, which were incredibly inspiring. Great work. So
definitely. Yeah, same here with me. I've really enjoyed seeing I don't know what they call it. There's a thing where they screen all the USC graduate student films, and whatever it's called, it's a great evening. It's a really, really good evening because it is cutting edge. These students, they don't have to answer to a studio telling them like, "Hey, you got to use this actor or you have to shoot this way." Yeah. They're doing everything according to the way their heart is telling them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Their passion is sort of directing the way that they're producing this project, these short films. So, yeah. And for me, I just felt like, well, you know, why not? I'll help this kid out. So I feel like I'm a fairly philanthropic human being. Like, I try to help out wherever I can, and you know, I don't sit there and say, "You better pay me this," you know. So I did it for free. I didn't
that sounds like a cool concept and like a lot of fun. Great. What is our episode this week? As if I don't know.
This week is Q2.
Yes, it is.
Q2. Okay. Well, let's go watch Q2. For all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. Well, this is a much easier episode to watch than the one that we just reviewed. And it was almost like a breath of fresh air. This is one of those episodes that I could, you know, if I was channel surfing and I came across, I would stop and probably watch it to the end. Just one of those.
I had so much fun.
It's a fun episode.
It's a really fun episode.
Poetry synopsis. Here we go.
Let's do it.
My haiku for Q2. Young Q joins the fold. Rebel with cause finds friendship. Punching bag Icheb.
Good. Thank you. Here we go with my limerick for Q2. Junior comes to visit Aunt Kate, and Icheb becomes his new mate. Attacked by an alien that's new, who turns out to be Q, although shortened, our homecoming will have to wait.
Nice. Very succinct. Perfect.
Thank you.
When you said he found a new mate, I thought you were going to say a new date. So I went there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, mate's fine. New friend.
It's his new friend.
Perfect. All right. Guest stars. Keegan DeLancey.
Yes.
Q Jr. And I thought maybe this was his only credit. I thought, oh, he probably just did this, you know, because dad's John. Dad is Q Sr.
What else did he do?
1990, he was in a short film called Alexander, Who Used to Be Rich Last Sunday. It's just like
a funny title.
The very funny title. We also have Michael Kagan, who played the Chokuzan commander.
Yes.
1973 talk show, Born to Kibitz, with Bubba Dean Rutledge and Giggles the Clown. There you go. These are awesome. I mean,
great
Alexander,
credits.
Who used to be rich last Sunday. Like, these could be band names. Like,
this
funky,
is amazing.
Crazy band names. Lorna Raver, who played Q Judge, the female Q that was a judge. Very first credit for Lorna Raver would be the 1990 feature film Opportunity Knocks.
Oh.
That starred Saturday Night Live alum Dana Carvey. Robert Loggia was the other lead in this movie. So I think it's about con men or something like that, if I recall.
Yes, but that sounds right.
Yeah, Lorna Raver.
She was great.
She was great. Co-stars. Anthony Holliday played the Nausicaan in that one training scenario that Chakotay was trying to put Q Jr. through. Very first episode would be 1996, an episode of Dangerous Minds TV series, which you should probably already know because Anthony Holliday was already on Star Trek Voyager, and I already read that exact same credit for him in this same season in the episode Shattered. He played Relot in Shattered. So there you go.
Wow.
And finally, rounding out our co-stars, we have Scott Davidson, who played the Bolian, who was arguing with the Nausicaan in the briefing room. And this job was his very, very first credit.
Oh, ta-da! Wow.
Yeah, that's rare too.
Wow. You know?
Yeah. Oh,
cool.
Teleplay by Doherty. So my second guess was correct. And story by Biller, and your first guess was, so our combined guesses, you know, helped us find the right combination there. We did not guess the director correctly.
No.
It was Jordi Laforge, a.k.a. LeVar Burton, who directed this one.
I had forgotten
no clue.
Yeah.
I thought he did Timeless, and that was it. I didn't think that he had come back after Timeless, but he did, evidently. Yeah. So there you go.
And did a great job, by the way. I want to say, like, I think LeVar.
You liked what he did?
Did a really good job with this episode. Yeah.
Yeah. I just love that one shot in engineering where, you know,
it starts
on the warp core. Yeah. It starts on the warp core and it turns. What is that thing that we have? The thing that rotates on four?
A three axis.
Yeah. Maybe? That's what it looked like it was doing because it turned and then it came down and I like that shot. It was definitely a good one.
Very cool.
Okay.
Let's get into our exciting plot here.
Yeah.
Icheb, speaking of exciting, is reading the history, early Starfleet history. He's reciting his report.
Yeah, he's not reading it. It's an oral report, correct?
Oral report. He's reciting his report on early Starfleet history.
Yeah.
It is so monotone and boring. And you can see... this is painful for her. This scene is hilarious to me. Kate's reactions to boring Icheb is just this whole episode for Kate, I think, is phenomenal.
It's a great
episode.
She's
hilarious.
Yeah.
She's got such great range, comedic timing, and strong, decisive leadership. Mm-hmm. I thought she knocked this one out of the park.
She did.
Yeah.
She did.
But she thinks he's finished his oral report, and then there's more. He starts a new chapter began. Kirk, and I just laughed.
Yeah.
He has 34 chapters, he tells her.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't want to hear him. She says, nope, you've got this covered. I trust you.
Yeah.
You have passed this class.
Yes.
Please leave, basically.
Just go. Just go. Get out of my ready room, please, Ijeb. Yes. It's enough.
And she gets one kid out of the ready room when she turns and
you hear his voice first, correct? Yes. We don't see him.
Yes.
So the reveal is a little bit later, but yeah. It's Junior.
It's Junior is revealed. I love the great camera reveal of Junior because Kate sort of walked over to a close-up. Ijeb's left, and she's like, whew. And then as she turns, suddenly Junior's right there sitting on her couch. It was great. Yeah. Great reveal. And he's got an attitude from the top.
Oh, yeah. Man, he's sassy. He's saying that that Janeway should have failed Ijeb right off the bat because he was so boring. That's why he should have been failed. It's just, yeah, he's not.
Yeah.
You can tell he's a rebellious teenager right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. But Janeway doesn't know who he is. She's like, who are you? And then suddenly another great camera reveal. She steps forward into a shot that reveals John Delancey sitting at her desk.
Yeah.
So great double reveals of the cues popping into her ready room.
Yeah.
And
nice.
He says, oh, I thought you'd recognize the resemblance. This is my son.
Cue. Or your godson. Basically, right?
Yeah.
So I was wrong. It wasn't Janeway's, because he tried to have
relations
with Kate and to have a child, but in the end, it was the other female Q that he procreated with. So. Okay.
But I loved when he said, "This is my son, Q."
Yeah,
because it's his real life son. So it's just all around. This is a fun episode to watch.
It is.
Yes, he tells her we come back after the opening credits, and he tells her that that Janeway, you're his godmother after all. And Janeway admits she saw him as an infant, but you know, she has no idea who this is. And I love in the scene when Junior takes some gum. He just has gum. Did you notice that?
Yeah, pops
some gum in his
mouth
and starts chewing.
I thought it was gum, but then later he's holding a little thing of, it's like a little pottery thing that was on Janeway's desk with something in there. So
candies,
I don't think
it's something.
Yeah. So that's what he was eating, something that was on her desk, because he puts it down later and then he leaves. So that's what he was holding to eat from. But I thought it was gum, and I thought, oh, he's doing what Robbie likes to do, chew gum.
He was so jealous. I was like, I never got to chew gum in the show.
Well, not officially, but you did
not officially.
In mess hall, you forgot you were on camera and you were chewing. So that's the only time. But yeah, you're right. He was chewing something.
He was chewing something. Q tells Janeway that Junior is on a vacation from the continuum and that he wants him to spend some time here with the humans, and that he's interested in his old man's stories about humanity. And he thought he should have some firsthand experience, and he's just going to be quiet while he's on this vacation and just watch.
Delancey Sr. says, he's as quiet as a Zisnian church mouse. Just that word Zisnian to me reminded me of you making fun of my laugh. The Zisnian church mouse. And also that street, as you're driving from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, you'll see Zizix Street. Z-Z-Z-Y-Z-Z-Y-Z-Z-X. So
Zizix Street.
Yeah.
Anyway, he disappears, leaving Junior there with Kate, with Janeway. She's not happy.
Yeah, because he's just disappeared, right? So Junior like snapped his fingers saying, you don't make the rules. Bing! And he disappears. So now they're on the bridge trying to find him. Any Q. Yeah.
Tuvok can't find him. And then Junior appears.
Yes.
And he wants to have some dialogue. Fun. He's like, let's fly into fluidic space and fight species 8472. He wants to go on the adventures that his dad's told him about.
Yes.
And Janeway's like, no.
I don't want to ignore Robert Daugherty's brilliant line. Scan, scan, scan. That's all you people ever do. I've been through every deck on this ship, and do you know what I've seen? Bipeds pushing buttons. Bipeds replacing relays. Bipeds running diagnostics. When are you going to do something interesting? Like, this is so teenager angst I don't know what it is. And it's just funny as heck too at the same time. Yeah. So good job.
How old do you think Junior is if you were to put a human age on it? 15?
I'd say 16. Yeah. 15, okay. 16. Okay. Yes. What
would
you put it?
I just asked now. I was going to say 15, 14, 15. It's going to go a little
14,
younger.
14, 15. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could go
like
younger.
Like an adolescent.
Yes.
Teenager. Not a
teenager.
Know, almost legal age teenager.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Yeah.
I asked
let's say
now
14.
Because
let's say 14.
I'll bring it up later. Why?
Okay.
His human age.
All right.
The concept of what he might be human in human years makes a difference to me. Anyway, so he wants to have fun. She says no. He pops out, and suddenly Torres calls and says, I need you in engineering right away. We cut to engineering. This is the cool shot you loved of coming off the warp core and dancing girls and electronica.
Oh, my God.
The thing I noticed was there were a ton of extras.
Oh, my God.
The most extras I think we've ever had.
I wrote down hair and makeup. Oh, they're all prosthetic. So that would, in a scene like this, there's no way that our regular makeup department can handle this amount of people. Mm-hmm. So that's when they call in all the favors. It's like, hey, are you working on something else? No, you're not. Come on over. Help us out. You got to be day worker for us because
we
cannot.
There must have been a dozen or more.
Probably 12, 15 special effects makeup artists. Easily. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Really expensive. This scene cost a lot of money.
Big time. But it looked great, though, I thought. Yeah. And I enjoyed the scene, and I'm quite jealous that I wasn't able to be there. Aww. So that's all right.
Well, man. Junior is chasing B'Elanna, trying to get her to dance. She will not dance. And Janeway comes in, says, the party is over. Get these guests off my ship. He again says, I give the orders around here, snaps his fingers, and
transports them to another part of the ship. But I still think it's funny, just the image of B'Elanna Torres. If she gave in to him and was like, fine, one dance, like what kind of dancing would B'Elanna do? I don't even know what kind of moves they would be, but I would have loved to have
seen
that.
like a punching move.
Oh, like sort of almost an aggressive thing. Like,
yeah.
Take a punch. I can see that.
It'd be like, like that. Yes. So he snaps them. They disappear out of the party and they end up in an empty corridor. Janeway, Tuvok, Torres, and Chakotay.
Yeah.
And Tuvok basically, Torres says he's trying to, you know, piss us off, get us angry. Yeah. And Tuvok says, don't give him the satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll just get bored and return to the continuum. And then we cut into Cargo Bay 2.
Mm. This is the most 90s scene of this entire episode. I felt very 90s, you know, sort of
This is why I asked your age question. Okay.
Mm.
Go into Cargo Bay 2. Yeah. 7 of 9 is working. We see her from behind. She has no clothes on.
Yeah.
We see her entire back and she's working at some console and she's naked is the story. And then Junior is sitting there ogling her. Perving on her naked from behind some boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, talk about perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 is nonplussed. She just doesn't, she doesn't
care.
Get affected. Doesn't care.
Nope. Yeah.
And then he returns her clothes. Cause like Tuvok suggested, he's going to get bored if you don't react. And so, but I found this scene so gratuitous.
Yeah.
I feel like we sexualize this character way too much.
Very gratuitous.
And the reason I ask the age is, how old is he supposed to be? If he's 15 or 16 years old, like, it's just inappropriate. It was unnecessary to have her take her clothes off or suggest that her clothes are off. I just found it gross.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just like I said, it was a very 90s kind of a scene that's the stuff they shot in the 90s and no one even questioned. Now you're like, ooh, it's a little bit, you know, you're pushing the envelope a little bit.
You definitely don't need it. Anyway, let's move on from that. We go to the mess hall. He got bored with 7. We cut to the mess hall. Janeway's going to the replicator to get some coffee. She says, computer, coffee, black. And the computer responds, make it yourself.
This is what's awesome. It's Majel Barrett Roddenberry's voice saying that. And we're used to hearing Majel, Gene Roddenberry's widow. We're used to hearing her just saying, just spouting out expositional information.
Very monotone.
Very monotone, whatever. Yeah. And
And to be perfectly honest, a very pleasant sounding voice. Okay. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you hear her make it yourself. I mean, she adds a little bite to it too.
In such
her,
an attitude.
Her voiceover.
I love it. I wish, why didn't we have the computer malfunction like this?
Oh my God.
Years before.
This would have been awesome. Yes.
Hilarious.
Very funny.
Neelix says, well, you can thank Q's son for that. He thought it needed more personality. She takes her coffee from Neelix. Gives her some coffee. And they talk about Q, and Neelix basically volunteers to mentor Junior.
Or be a big brother, like a big, brother, a little brother program in a way, right? Yeah.
And by the way, when she got the coffee, I don't know if you remember or not, but my memory is Kate used to like coffee in those coffee mugs. You know, a lot of actors just say, put some water in there. I don't want to drink too much coffee. But I remember her getting black coffee for the scene. That's why they started writing it, is because she would ask for it early.
Oh.
Like, oh, could I have a cup of coffee here?
Wow.
They just started writing to it, but she really would drink. It wasn't super hot. I always get it kind of warm.
Yeah, I was never in a situation where I was standing over her shoulder, you know, where I could see what she had in her beverage cup.
But usually our beverage is like, if it's supposed to be red wine, it's grape juice. If it's supposed to be white wine, it's, you know, white grape juice.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
if it's a not cocktail, what it's just club soda with some food juice in it. Or
it's never the real
deal. If it's coffee, it's maybe just water. Like you never would see it.
Correct.
But she liked real coffee.
She liked real coffee and black as well. The same way Janeway orders it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So Neelix goes to be a big brother. We go to the astrometrics lab and Junior is sitting in what looks like a gaming chair.
Yeah.
Astrometrics.
Yes.
Didn't it?
Yes, it sure did.
I love that chair. I wish Tom had that in his quarters. That's a cool chair.
What if you got to sit on that on the bridge? That'd be even
cooler. Or, yeah. I like the gaming chair. It was really nice. But he's lounging, watching something on the big screen.
Yeah. Actually, it was more like a Lazy Boy recliner, I thought.
It was almost like a recliner.
As opposed to a gaming chair. Okay.
But he's watching something on the big screen. Neelix asks, what is it?
Yeah.
He said, oh, it's a battle between the Vegeans and the Wingari.
Yeah.
And Neelix realizes, like, he snapped his fingers and he's made these people fight. He's like really just like.
When Neelix says, wait a minute, we just passed that sector and we know we met these people.
They were at peace.
They didn't. Yeah. And now they're fighting. And then Junior, he shows how cool, you know, how he can control space and time. He snaps his finger again. Another race jumps into the fray and starts fighting. And so he's causing chaos everywhere he goes. It looks
and
like.
Neelix is like, you know, maybe instead of hurting people, you should help them. You know, you could use your powers for good. But Junior says, you know what? You talk too much.
Yeah.
And we cut to sick bay and he
has no mouth.
He has no mouth.
It's gone. Isn't there a Twilight Zone episode like that? I'm pretty sure there's something that.
It looked like a horror movie.
I've seen something like that already. Yeah.
I wonder if they did it, if it was makeup over his mouth or if it was just VisiFX. Because this shot is a one-er. It's a nice one-er. It starts on his mouth and pulls out, and then the doctor. So it could have just been a VisiFX.
Which would have been cheaper to do?
I don't know. I don't know.
I
probably
think
the
makeup would have been cheaper to do, and I think it was makeup. That's my guess, right? I mean, now in 2023, VisiFX would be cheaper than makeup. Am I right?
Maybe. Probably just with all the time and the manpower to put it on. It'd be quick and easy just to cover it up. But it looked like a horror movie.
It was scary. It was sort of scary. Like, that's when you know a young Q can have a little edge that could cause a lot of harm and do a lot of harm, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The doctor says he's removed his vocal cords and fused his mouth. So Q has to restore his voice. You know, the doctor could maybe do some cosmetic surgery, but Q's going to have to fix this. While the doctor's explaining what's up, there's a big ship shake. And I made a note, Bob and Kate did very good sync on their shakes. They both went the same level. They both went at the same time.
Yeah. And that's not easy.
We obviously didn't shake our set. It was just people.
It was
go
the actors reacting to it. Yeah.
Yeah. They'd call it or something like that.
Right.
And we'd react. But a lot of times we weren't always in sync with that.
Right. Synchronized shaking. It's not an easy thing to do. Synchronized shaking is definitely, you gotta practice that. And they did a good job. You're right.
Yeah. Just after the shake, Jamie says, bridge report. But Junior pipes in. He says, hey, I've got a surprise for you. You should come see. And we cut to the bridge. Junior's sitting in the captain's chair. And he wants to see how they react to pressure. And we see on the view screen, Borg cubes.
Multiple cubes firing upon us.
Yeah. Firing, coming right at us. Mm-hmm. And off of that, we go to the act out. But I made a note about the music here. It sounded like the old Batman TV show music.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah, yeah,
it was like horns or something.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I don't always notice the music, but that one, it was like, very vintage.
Batman-esque, yes.
Yeah. We go to the act out. We come back. We're in space. But now those ships that were flying at us, somehow during the commercial, when we come back, we're in the middle of them and we're trying to fly between them. The geography was kind of confusing. I would think we would be running away from them as opposed to flying right between them. But anyway.
Right. But this is when the Borg beam onto the bridge too, I think, right? Tuvok shoots one. Janeway's about to get assimilated. And all of a sudden.
Janeway's about to get assimilated by a Borg who's got her. And it's Keith, my stand-in.
Yes.
My standing Keith was that Borg that had Janeway. I love when because they had fit him for the makeup years before.
Yeah, they keep
whenever
using
there
him.
Was Borg, he was always featured and he loved it.
That's right.
Yeah.
He did. But that's when Q Senior comes in to save the day. And he is mad. He is so mad. And it was sort of like when he screamed at Keegan, his real son, it was just like, oh, it was painful to watch because he screams. Yeah. He goes, if the continuums told you once, they've told you 1,000 times, don't provoke the Borg. Like he totally yells
at.
He was pissed. I've never seen John DeLancey that loud.
I can imagine in real life if he got mad as a father.
Maybe that would come out of him.
Very intimidating.
Well, I'll tell you, Keegan played it well. He cowered. I mean, did you see that? His physicality? Yeah. He just went, dad, no. It was, it was almost too real. For me,
yes, exactly. We go in the ready room. We go in
the wedding room. The wedding room. Yes.
And Q and Janeway are talking, and Q's trying to say he's not that bad. He just he's just misunderstood. Janeway's pissed too. Yeah. She's like, he tried to kill my entire crew.
When he says, no one was hurt. I even gave your pet Talaxian his vocal cords back when John said pet Talaxian. I can only think about you listening to that line and going, oh my God.
But Q is trying to make excuses and Jamie's like, no more excuses. He needs to learn.
Yeah.
And she's basically saying, you need to spend time with him.
Right.
And his response is, oh.
Oh, I love that response. It was very funny. Hilarious.
Yeah. Very funny.
But he does agree with her. He was like, okay. All right, I'll give this a shot. Maybe this is the key. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he kisses Janeway and he disappears.
And he disappears and she rolls her eyes. One of the greatest eye rolls of all time.
Yeah.
I do want to say about that scene with the two of them though. Great blocking. There was a lot of movement, a lot of coverage. It probably took a lot of time to do it, but it was worth it because that scene flowed. LeVar did a great job. Janeway walks back onto the bridge and we hear Paris off camera say, I've made a full sensor sweep. There's no sign of any Borg vessels. And I said it like that. I was like, what, am I asleep? Am I bored? Did I just wake up? I don't think I was
I
even
did not
there.
Hear it. Are you serious? You're critiquing your line, how your line came out?
Oh.
You think it was that monotone? No.
It was so monotone. I was like,
you're so picky.
I don't think I was even there for the scene. I think they looped that line in because it felt weird.
Okay, well, then it was looped then.
I think originally she just walked in and said to Chakotay, the boy.
Chakotay says, he's gone. And she goes, I'm going to my quarters. You have the bridge. So they just threw that in to sort of fill out. Cover her walk or whatever.
Yeah, because you don't see me off camera anywhere. I don't think I was even there. Yeah, sometimes when they add lines like that, when you weren't in the scene, you really don't know the context.
Well, you're not going to know the context, and they're not going to know the context.
I rate it pretty flat, and I think that they should have said, hey, you just came out of a big battle with a Borg.
Yeah.
You probably, kind of,
you're going to be a little
still got adrenaline going.
Yes.
I was asleep.
Okay.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Where are we?
Her bathroom, and
oh, she's in a bubble bath.
She's in a bubble bath.
Oh my God!
And it pulls back wide. Ultimately, that is the biggest bathtub I've ever seen.
Oh, it's massive. And I kept thinking, where was that? I don't even recall that being there. I thought we just had stand-up sonic showers, and that's it. Where's the bathtub?
No, she's got like a swimming pool bathtub.
Did she replicate that just for that evening, maybe? I don't know.
Very funny. But she's in a bath. Q appears fully dressed. He's in clothes sitting in the bathtub with her, which is hilarious.
Oh, God. Her reaction, the way she's talking to him, is just priceless. You know, she's not happy that he's in. That's sitting her personal space. Yeah. Yes. Get away. Right.
He says, though, I tried what you said. I smothered him with attention. Yeah. Spent every waking moment with him, but things only got worse. So,
and she's like, you've been gone for 10 minutes. Okay. Yeah. And he's like, no, not on our temporal plane. It was years that I hung out with him. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And Q blames it all on her. You know, now he's embarrassed to be seen with me. So this is all your fault.
She basically asks if Q punished Q Jr. And he says, well, I tried to get him to apologize, but then he stopped talking to me. And then Janeway says, well, you gave in to him. And he said, well, I told him he can shift all these continents as long as he doesn't hurt anyone. And Janeway then finally says, look, you need to make him understand that there are consequences to his actions. And that's when Q Sr. is like, you're a genius again.
Brilliant.
He leans. And I love that moment where he leans forward. He tries to give her a kiss, and she tries to stop him with her foot. So he kisses her foot, which was hilarious.
I remember when we were watching this, Rebecca was watching it with me, and Rebecca has a thing about feet. They're just gross.
She got grossed out when she saw that, right?
So grossed out. She could not believe that John Delancey kissed.
But it was a foot that was in a bathtub that had bubbles on
Still
it.
So
it was a clean one.
As clean as feet.
Is Rebecca okay with clean feet?
Are feet ever really totally clean?
If you right after a shower or a bath, they are. They're nice and squeaky clean.
So he kisses her foot. We go to sick bay, and now Q, John Delancey, is holding a petri dish. He snaps his fingers, and Junior
appears.
No, first
he goes, he says this. This is the funny part. He goes, he looks at the petri dish, and he goes, I think that's long enough. And so that's the beginning of this scene. Yeah. And that's when the snap happens, and boom. We realize
he made Junior
an
Oprelian amoeba.
He said he was shapeless and slimy.
hated it. And that's going to be his consequence. If he can't stay here and behave.
Yeah. If he cannot change his ways, he will stay in an amoeba for a single cell organism for the rest of his life. That's the consequence. Yeah.
Yep.
So, or that's the punishment.
Q is talking to Janeway, and I love this staging because Junior is standing behind them. He's listening to them debate about whether he's going to stay.
Right.
Q is saying, like, you housebroke your Borg drone. Like, you can handle it. And Junior standing in the middle of him, and he leans in at one point to and they sort of look at him. There's no dialogue with it. They look at him and
does he lean back? Yeah.
But it was a very like theater bit to me. It's like the kind of thing you do in a play or something.
Yes. Very theatrical. Good bit. I love that. That's very funny. But yes, the whole argument about House breaking a drone, Janeway responds with, yeah, but that took years for happen. You're asking me to change his ways in a matter of days. This is very difficult for me to do. Mm-hmm. So basically, Junior agrees. He's like, fine, 1 week. Wait, I'll see you in 7 days. He snaps and realizes he has no power. And I love the laugh that John Delancey gives. It's maniacal. And he's so giggling with the fact that they've taken away his powers temporarily. And he's going to have to deal with being a human Voyager. Yeah, for 1 week.
He's not happy about it. He throws the Petri dish down,
stomps
on the ground and stomps on it. That low angle was very cool.
I did like that low angle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he walks out and Janeway calls security and we cut to the hallway and Junior is now being escorted by security.
Not only escorted, he's being held on both arms are being forcibly held basically by our security team. Very funny.
Yeah. Janeway takes him to his new quarters, which looks like a prison cell, very sparse.
Yeah.
He does not like it. He says the Petri dish was better.
It's still more decorated than Seven of Nine's hollow quarters, though.
That's true.
Okay.
But Janeway says that she's going to prepare a curriculum for him, and he's going to learn respect. And did you see her taking his pips off?
Yes.
He had, like, captain's pips on. Yeah.
She took everything, all the rank pips off of him, which was hilarious.
More pips than Harry.
Yes, he did.
Or Tom.
Combined. So there you go.
Takes off the pips and she's going to prepare this curriculum. And he says, okay, 7 days, how hard can it be?
He refers to the Voyager as an antiquated flying machine. And we, the crew, are primates. So Janeway's, throws it right back. Oh, well, we primates are your only hope. And he thinks, 7 days, how hard can this be?
Yeah, he can do it. He can do this.
He thinks.
So we go to Astrometrics. Tuvok is going to leave him with Seven of Nine, who's going to instruct him on causality. How actions have, bigger repercussions than we may intend. So the things he's doing are hurting more people than he even knows.
Yeah.
Tuvok leaves and Icheb is there and Icheb introduces himself.
I didn't get that joke. Did you get the joke when he says, I'm Icheb? And then Keegan responds with, oh, I know who you are. You're the drone with the Kirk fixation. So what? Kirk fixation.
I think he was talking about the speech, the Starfleet Academy report.
Oh,
he was eavesdropping in on all that stuff.
From the very first scene. Thank you for filling that in. I was a little confused.
Yeah. But Seven says Icheb's a good role model, and you should follow his example. Mm-hmm. And then Ginger's response is, "Can I just see you naked again?"
Yeah,
and I thought
that was like cringe. Yeah, what are you doing?
He's a child.
You didn't need to do that.
Junior's next lesson, Chakotay's taking him to the holodeck. He's going to learn diplomacy, supposedly, and takes him into a holographic version of our briefing room where there's a Bolian, Nausicaan.
There's also a Cardassian, a Romulan, a Ferengi, a Bajoran. They're all there. They're all there arguing.
And I love that he freezes the program in the middle of their argument and explains that they're fighting for mining rights to a planetoid, and that Junior's going to have to settle this dispute with them. So he's going to have to learn diplomacy. Mm-hmm. I thought it was amazing that that's what Keegan does now. He is actually a diplomat.
Yes.
This holodeck is literally where his career took him.
This scene was foreshadowing what he's doing now.
Isn't that
weird? It's
amazing.
It's weird, but it's strange because I do believe when you think something you put it into the universe. You know what I'm saying? And not only do you think this, he's acting this. So it's put into the universe multiple times, and then it sort of manifests in his real life as he becomes a diplomat. And so it's not shocking, but it is super cool that this is kind of what he ended up being. So
Chakotay explains that he's going to have to be a diplomat and leaves Junior there to settle this dispute. Junior thinks it's going to be super easy. Chakotay says, yeah, sure. Yeah. Let's see how you do. Because he knows it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And then as Chakotay is walking down a corridor, a door opens and Janeway steps out of a turbo lift and starts walking with him. And I just thought, how many times have we like conveniently just sort of, the door opens just in time for her to walk. He doesn't even break stride. You know, I know it.
That's how it works on Star Trek Voyager sometimes.
I guess so. But she asks, how's it going? How's he doing?
Well, she's also saying, aren't you supposed to be supervising him? And Chakotay's like, no, he says he doesn't need it. But he's basically giving him a chance to fail. That's why he's leaving to see what happens, right?
So a little time passes. We go back to the holodeck briefing room simulation. Chakotay walks in. And everyone's applauding.
Oh, they're everyone's shaking hands. They're applauding. Yeah,
they're hugging. They're just they're like best friends. And Junior explains that he not only settled the mining dispute, but he got the Cardassians to apologize
for the occupation of Bajor.
Look how good he did.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the only thing, so he fixed all the problems. The only thing, it was very funny. I just wish the camera had been around on Chakotay's reaction because it was...
Chakotay's reaction? Oh, yeah. When he walked in the room?
Yeah, I think it could have been funny. You could have had a funnier moment there.
Yeah.
I also noticed in the scene, Chakotay had a coffee mug and he doesn't have any lines in here. He just walks in. Junior's got the lines.
The mug.
He's got, and Chakotay's holding the mug.
Yeah.
And he did sort of a toast thing like this. And it just reminded me, I don't know if you remember, but Beltran and I would often, in the briefing room scenes, we would play these games when we had no lines, where we would take our coffee cup and we would sort of like do silent acting. And we'd watch each other during the scene because we were, you know, we didn't have anything to say. So we'd see what kind of things you could do with the coffee cup, like sniff it or shake it around or start to drink and then not drink or all kinds of like, we try to crack each other
up. When did you guys start doing this?
A lot. It was
really,
it was deep in the series, but it was an ongoing thing with the, if we don't have lines, we're going to have some prop.
No,
we're going to do like prop acting, trying to make each other laugh with the silliest bizarre behavior with the prop. In this scene, he's got a coffee cup. Yeah. And Junior talks, and he.
So the minute he does the toast thing, you started laughing your butt off.
He did the prop bit. He did. He used the prop because he didn't have any lines. Oh, anyway.
Oh my god, that's so cool! I had no idea that you had these little. This is an inside joke you had with Beltran.
Yeah, and it is not funny to anybody but us. Yeah, can you imagine? Like, you know, I'm watching Beltran, and he's got his coffee, and he starts to drink, and then. Then he'll pause as if he's thinking of something, and then he'll drink
it. Look back and
I'd be like, "Oh, dude, you did it!
You
had a bit. You did a prop bit."
That's awesome. Okay.
Anyway, we go to the mess hall, and Neelix is welcoming everyone for food, and Junior is serving.
Yes.
Now Junior has been assigned to serve food.
Yeah.
And
he's still annoyed. He says, "Do you ever stop?" Talking about Neelix kind of being the morale officer and cook and being so talkative. And Neelix is a little perturbed with Junior. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. My talking annoys you. Too bad you can't just shut me up again, huh? So there is a little bit of an edge there, understandably so, since you Junior caused his vocal cords to disappear. That was not a good thing.
Yeah, but Icheb walks in and asks Junior if he wants to join him in some recreational activities, which is very nice of Icheb.
Yeah, it was kind of him to reach out for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Junior says, I can't. I got to write this historical essay.
Yep.
Icheb says, wow, that's a really challenging subject, and the Q continuum subject. Yeah. And Junior says, well, I've never written one. I don't even know where to start. And Icheb offers something and Junior, you know, offers an idea. And Junior goes, hey, would you mind writing some of this down with me? So you know he's cheating.
His wheels are turning. Yes, yeah. He's plotting right now. He's like, okay, I'll get him to do my homework. There we go.
Yeah. And so at this point, I was starting to put together, oh, he didn't solve the problem. He cheated. Somehow in the holodeck, he's cheating on this assignment. Like he's not really changed.
No,
so I got that here for sure.
Did anyone ever try to cheat off of you in when you were in school? You ever have people doing that? You know,
I mean,
that happened.
I feel like everybody, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like everybody, when you're young, you test the waters with cheating, right? You look over the desk near you and what are they doing? And is that what I was going to do? Maybe I'll do what they did.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I did some of that and people probably did off of me, but I definitely tried to find the easiest way through. I was a little more probably I was more like Junior than Echeb.
Okay. Well, I was definitely Echeb, and I'll say I got so fed up with people copying my answers that I would actually, on a multiple choice test, there would be multiple students from every side. So then just to get them back, I remember I answered everything incorrectly. They copied all that down. I erased it all. They turned their shit in, and then I actually went ahead and put down the right answer. And then I turned it in. So I kind of got, because I just was kind of sick of it. So I said, I'll teach them.
Yeah,
I'll teach them one time. Yeah. And they all got very bad grades on that test. I remember that. So that was the one time I stood up in a non-passive, in a passive way. It's kind of passive, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't, it's still aggressive because I made it so that they failed. That's what I did. So,
well, they should be careful then and do their own answer.
They should have prepared, right? Okay.
We go to the ready room next, and Janeway is reading Junior's essay that he had just asked Echeb to write down for him.
Yeah.
And Janeway goes, "You didn't write this. Like, I recognize Echeb's style anywhere." And Junior tries to cover, and Janeway is mad. Like, in this scene, basically, I was like, wow, Kate is playing this really scary. Like, I wrote down scary low voice mode. She was intimidating. It seems like she's succeeding because he really pleads with her very sincerely. You know, "You're my only hope, please. I promise I'll do better."
Right.
And then she dismisses him. And then she has a little smile at the end. So I feel
she does.
Yeah, I feel like she was putting on an act to try to intentionally scare him.
Right.
We have a space flyby, captain's log. "It's been 4 days since my ultimatum to the young Q, and he appears to be making progress. His instructors inform me that he's taking his assignments with new determination and making a concerted effort to be more courteous to the crew. It's hard to believe that this is the same brazen man who came aboard a few days ago." So with this captain's log, it feels like that big, tough talk, scary.
It's something.
Scary low voice mode
has
turned him.
Yeah.
And we see Tuvok running with Junior through the corridors over this captain's log. We see Junior working with Echeb in a very friendly way. So there's a bit of a montage over this captain's log that, wow, he's really, it's finally worked. Yeah. Janeway has turned it around.
Yeah.
And we go to the mess hall, and Junior brings a new draft of his essay, and he thanks her for giving him a second chance. And the essay is called IQ, An Insider's View of the Continuum, which is very funny. And Janeway comments on it. Clever title.
Yeah, she likes it. Yeah. Echeb shows up now.
Echeb shows up and he says, "Hey, I'm going on a, you know, with Tom Paris. He's going to
teach me how to fly.
Yeah, take us on some piloting lessons. Why don't you come along?" And Junior's like, "I've got to scrub the plasma conduits."
With Crewman Chell, one of your favorites, Arbolian.
I know. And Janeway's like, "No, you know what? You're really trying. You're doing so good. I'm going to give you the time off. Take a break." And he walks out.
Yeah.
And we cut to space. The Delta Flyer is flying through all these rocks and meteors or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very cool VFX shot. Nice little Delta Flyer move.
Yeah, it's Echeb that's flying it now, though, right?
Inside, Echeb is piloting. And Paris says, "You know, steady. Ease up on the thrusters a little." And I thought, my first thought here is like, they're in the middle of all of those meteors and Paris is standing, letting this kid fly the thing.
I was like, why isn't he on a holodeck? You know what I'm saying? Where it's a simulation. Why are you doing this for real?
Or why isn't Paris in a co-pilot seat ready to take over?
Totally. You just handed over controls to a teenager. And
Paris is just leaning on the back of the chair. Going,
so casual, like nothing. It's like a stroll through the park on Sunday. And that's clearly, this whole zone is just every square meter seems to be a meteor. So, very, very, very weird.
that you would do that.
Yeah.
But even Junior is a little nervous. He's like, well, in case you forgot, I'm mortal, so I'd appreciate if you don't fly us into a rock now. Mm-hmm. But Ichab, again, being very gracious, says, well, maybe Q would like to take over for a bit. So he gets a turn at the wheel, but an alarm sounds. Then we get an alarm. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's an alarm, and Paris says, oh, there's a ion imbalance. You mm-hmm. know, no big deal, but we should go back to Voyager. Sorry to cut the lesson short. And Junior says, well, that won't be necessary. I barely hear it anymore. Do you hear it? And Ichab says, hear what?
Hear what? Yeah. So he must kind of laugh at their little camaraderie. He had a little laugh there. So.
Yeah. We go to the corridor, and Janeway's walking down the corridor, and Q pops his head out of a turbo lift door, which was very, he just sort of leans out. Again, another convenient, like, catches her. But yeah. Anyway, it was cute.
And she's like, I'll take the next one. She moves on down the corridor, but he plops his head out of a Jeffrey's tube or something a little bit later, right?
Yeah, I think this is a great example of what you would call like a cowboy switch, or it's a trick. It's an in-camera trick where Q was in one doorway on the left side of the hallway. Mm-hmm. And then the way the camera moved and panned allowed John Delancey to run to a new position. Mm-hmm. And then when she came
in,
when she made the turn, it popped back in as if he had jumped space and time, but it was really John Delancey literally running off camera.
I'm going to say, I know that the dimensions of that set, he had to hustle from that point where he popped his head out. He had to literally sprint.
But there was no cut.
There is no cut. So it
had to be done in camera.
Yeah. But anyway, it worked well. It was good.
It worked really good. Janeway tells him that Junior's doing great. He's working really hard. And Janeway says, yeah, if you don't, you know, believe me, you should, maybe you should see for yourself. And we cut to the ready room. Junior is reading about the continuum and he's wrapping up his report. And Janeway is very impressed, turns to Q. What do you think? And Q kind of dismisses it. It's like, oh, it's very nice. it was just the way he threw it away, condescending. It was very funny.
Yeah,
she says nice, and he says yes, I like the part about the continuum. She goes, the whole thing is about the continuum.
But Junior doesn't like the reaction that Dad had, so he's hurt.
Dad,
he storms out of there. Yeah,
basically Q is like, you know, it's hard to be impressed with any of these accomplishments. He's been here for 5 days. What have you taught him? How to scribble essays and play with holograms? What's next? Basket weaving? So Q is hard to impress.
Yes.
But Janeway tries to argue, you know, no, he is really making changes.
Yeah.
And Q said, but that's not enough. He's got to demonstrate something that is exemplary Q-ness.
Yeah.
She's like, what is exactly is Q-ness? And He can't even explain it.
He says, I
know it when I see it.
Yeah. He goes, but well, he first says, you know, oh, it's impossible for your minuscule mind to comprehend, but I know Q-ness when I see it. Yeah, it's a very vague response for sure.
We go to Junior's quarters next. We have a very sad
Junior. This is a very sad scene.
Yeah, it's
he's just sitting on this bed. He's not doing anything. He's depressed, you know, and Janeway comes in just to see how he's doing. And they have this very, you know, kind of a deep conversation. He's afraid that my dad's
impossible to please. And you know, it clearly hurts. And it was just a nice, honest performance by Keegan in this scene. I really thought he was great.
Kate
was great.
Most definitely. And I love how, you know, at the end, he's resigned himself to the fact that he's going to be an amoeba, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Janeway's like, listen, I'm going to make sure that if they don't take you back, at least to keep you as human and you can stay here. And you know, Keegan's like, or Junior's like, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. But I don't want to be human because I want to be a Q. Like my father. So it was a very deep scene, I felt.
A deep scene, and it just worked on so many levels to me. He did a great job.
Definitely.
Jeffrey's tube is next. Junior pops in, Ichab's working, and Ichab calls him Q-ball.
I love that. And the Itchy, yes. This is where Itchy comes Itchy. From. Itchy comes from here, right? So Junior calls Icheb Itchy, and Icheb calls Junior Q-Ball, which is cute.
A very cute nickname.
And it just immediately it sets the tone like, hey, these two have actually bonded. There's a chemistry here, right? So they're friends. They're about the same age, basically, right?
And Junior says, hey, let's go fix that noise that Lieutenant
the Paris ion noticed. Imbalance. Yeah.
Yeah. And Icheb's like, well, sure, but did you get permission? And Junior's like, no, that would ruin the surprise.
Yeah.
And so Icheb is a little reluctant, but he's like, okay, all right. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
And just don't refer to me as Itchy, one of the senior officers. It was very funny.
Oh my God.
We go inside the flyer. There's Q in the pilot's chair.
Yeah.
Itchy's in the back. And Icheb is fixing that noise.
Yeah.
When suddenly Junior says, you're going to love what I'm doing. You know, Icheb's like, wait, what are you doing up there? He goes, you're going to love it. I once learned how to open a spatial flexure using nothing more than a deflector array. Icheb's like, whoa, a flexure? He says, yeah, it's a tunnel through space. He's going to jump.
Yeah, he doesn't form have his own wormhole. He just makes his own wormhole is what he's going to do, right?
Yeah.
He's going to take one to the Clavari system. And here's that 90s gratuitous comment. Wait till you see the females. They're spectacular. It's like, okay, yeah.
But Junior does this very cool flexure thing.
Yeah.
It's a cool CGI effect in the shuttle bay where they blast through. They leave the shuttle bay and blast through the doors.
Much and to Icheb's,
he's
protesting. He's like, we need the captain's permission. And Junior's like, you think she'd give it to us? He's like, no. Well, then there's no point in asking. And then the whole thing is just like, look, you can't break these rules. And Junior's like, yes, I can. Watch me. And they're gone. Mm-hmm. They're out of there.
He knows Voyager's going to have a tractor beam. He even says when they're flying, you know, oh, they're so predictable. We cut to the bridge. Harry says they're opening some sort of spatial rift.
Yeah.
There's that wormhole he's opening.
The flexure.
Yeah, the flexure. It's Tuvok says it's disrupting the tractor beam.
Yeah.
They try to compensate.
Yeah, we see it. We see it fritz out, right? And then the Delta Flyer sort of breaks free. We actually have the visual effect. We get to see that happen.
Yeah,
that looked cool. Yeah.
It looked like a Q pop-in flash, like the flexure itself. Kind of
a little pop-in flash-esque look to it,
like the Qs do.
Yes,
but Tuvok says they're gone, and now we're inside the Delta Flyer, and they are in the Clavari system.
Yeah, just like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Junior wants to have some fun.
Yeah,
suddenly some cool ship.
Like, I love drops. That ship.
Oh, super, super cool.
That was like a hot rod. Like a Mustang, you know, or something. It was like so
curvy and smooth.
Yes, yes.
Drops out of warp, appears.
Right.
And the alien on board says, you're trespassing in the Shokuzen space. Junior's like, oh, yeah, we were just leaving. And the alien says, no, we have to investigate and disengage your engines.
Prison first, basically. You have to be incarcerated. And then the investigation happens.
Yeah.
You got to be prepared to be boarded.
Yep. By the way, this alien looks like a catfish face to me. It had like whiskers and kind of, it looked like a catfish. You know how Westmore would say they had these books of like fish and insects and the design.
Yes.
This was a catfish inspiration.
I liked it. I thought it was cool.
It was very cool.
Because I like catfish.
Me too. Love him.
Icheb is protesting this whole time, right?
Yeah,
he's like, we should do as he says. You're going to get us killed. Say. Everything is just like,
But Junior doesn't listen. He shoots this Chakuzian ship, which looks, the ship looked a little bit like the Orville ship to me or something. Maybe not exactly, but kind of smooth. It was very cool.
Yeah. Okay.
We go back inside. Egypt's pissed off in the flyer. He's like, you're going to get us killed.
He says he's going to open another flexure to get out of there.
Yeah, right? He's going to open another flexure and we can't debate this. I need you at tactical. So he lets Egypt come forward now because he put up a force field to stop Egypt earlier. But he does lower the force field. He needs Egypt's help. Mm-hmm. And Egypt sits down. He says, shields are down to 30%. Then he yells, 16%. And I was like, where did this emotion from Icheb? I've never seen An ounce was, of emotion from each
of them. Okay, you know what that was? That was just like Tom Paris in Workforce Part 2 when he goes, this city is supposed to be safe! Like the same kind of...
out of nowhere.
Same out of nowhere. It's just like the volume got turned up.
Ichab is panicking about 16%.
He doesn't like when the number 16.
He's 16%. He's like...
no.
It was like Home Alone moment.
It was.
Same person.
Exact thing. As Junior opens up another flexure to get out of that system, to go to another system, the Zozak system, where he says the girls there aren't as attractive, but we have to make some compromises. So another silly, stupid, gratuitous line. But the most important thing is Icheb, before they zap out through the flexure, he gets zapped with all this crazy energy.
Yes.
Like he starts... convulsing.
He falls down on the floor.
Unconscious. Yeah.
And Junior, who, you know, maybe has made some bad choices,
yeah,
sincerely cares about each
other. He does feel it. Yes.
He is really itchy, is his buddy. And now he's not
itchy anymore.
Scared.
Yeah.
We go back on the bridge of Voyager, and Tuvok detects that rift forming, and they detect the flyer. The flyer's hailing. And we see Junior on screen.
I'm going to say that's not the same rift that he detected, because they went first to Zozak system. That's when he realized Icheb is messed up. He opened another flexure to come back to Voyager. And I think that's the one Tuvok detects, right?
Yeah, so I think you're right.
Yeah.
But he comes back. Junior's on the screen. He says, Aunt Kathy. And Janeway's like, do not call me Aunt Kathy.
Don't you know? She says, don't you Aunt Kathy me.
Yeah, that's right.
What she said. That was the word structure, the sentence structure, which I loved, by the way.
Very funny.
Yeah.
But Junior says, we've got to get each up to sick bay. We can cut to sick bay.
Yeah.
And the doctor says that his cells, he's basically dying from radiation.
Right.
And he can't fix him unless he knows what more about the weapon that caused this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Q suddenly pops in.
Right.
And says, is it a bad time?
Yeah, kind of.
And then Janeway says, you know, to Junior, tell him what's up.
Yeah.
And
Junior throws Icheb under the bus right here.
Yeah. He says Icheb stole the shuttle and I tried to stop him.
And he kidnapped me.
He's a liar.
Janeway calls him out on that. He's like, no, he stole the shuttle. He attacked the other vessel.
Oh, and so Q says, well, if you're not going to learn anything, then if your playmate has to die to teach you this lesson, then so be it. And he disappears. So it looks like Itchy could die, because Junior is just not telling the truth.
Looks like Itchy's goose is going to be cooked. But, you know, Junior does plead. He did plead with Q before Q disappeared. Like, please just save him. Save him. But he wouldn't. Nope.
Yep. We come back from the break and Junior's calling for Q to come back, but he won't come back. And Janeway says, you are going to go back to the ship that attacked you and you're going to apologize and you're going to beg them for information we need.
Yep.
Junior's kind of giving up now.
Yeah.
He basically... feels
he's
like
saying
he's a failure on every level.
On every level, as a Q, as a human, as a friend, as everything.
Yeah, he says, Icheb is the only friend that I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I brought him back because I thought you could save him. But Janeway reminds him that, you know, the mistake you made was not doing the right, you know, is not doing the right thing now. You've got to do the right thing and go back. So we go back to space. We see this alien ship inside the flyer. He's got Janeway with him this time. And he is saying, he's explaining to the alien that Icheb, you know, doesn't deserve to die. This is all my fault.
And also that they're kids, basically. That's the other part of it, right? Saying, look, these are minors, right? These aren't adults.
Mm-hmm.
But the alien does say to Janeway, are you the adult responsible for this child? And Janeway says, well, I suppose I am. And the alien says, well, you know, we'll accept his apology and give you the information to save your accomplice, Icheb, but you will be punished for the crime, saying Janeway will be punished for the crime. And that's when Junior was like, no, wait a minute. She didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And he argues and argues. And to the point, he's like, nope, guess what? I will take whatever punishment is meant for Janeway. I'll take it. I did it. So he finally takes
responsibility.
And the alien says, the alien, you know, it could be torture or even execution.
You don't even know what the punishment is. He's like, I don't care. I'm going to take it. So that is the point where the alien snaps his fingers and it's Q.
Yeah,
Q Senior, surprise.
Yeah,
you passed the test, Junior. You showed that you can actually care about somebody, you know?
Yeah, so. Janeway's in shock. Junior's in shock.
Janeway's actually mad. Isn't she kind of pissed? She's kind of pissed.
But I love this bit that they added where Q says, oh, I wish you could have seen the look on your faces. Oh, wait, you can.
You can.
And he snaps his finger and they have mirrors.
In their hand.
And they just look at themselves and look back at him. It's like a vaudeville bit. It was very funny.
It is.
Janeway is not happy about this, but she says to Q, you know, what's going to happen? What about Icheb? And Q says, well, your doctor will discover that he's made a miraculous recovery.
Right.
So Q has saved him.
Yeah.
And we go to the mess hall.
Yeah.
And this is an empty mess hall now. There's no tables.
Yeah, because this is the court, right?
It becomes the court.
Q judges in the Q court.
Mm-hmm. And it starts with these really like fast push-ins. And I remember, was I there?
Push-ins on who? The judges?
It pushes in on Q. Like you see Q and Junior and Janeway standing there. And then the judges on the other side. And it pushes in on Q. And then it pushes in on the main judge before anybody speaks.
And when it pushes in on Q, is Q in a three shot with Junior and Janeway as well?
It starts with a three shot, but it pushes into his close up.
Okay.
And it's like ramped or sped up. And so you see this whoosh. And whoosh.
Did you like that effect or no?
I loved it. I thought it was a great, great, like dynamic move that LeVar did that I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Just to open the scene, you feel like, oh boy, something's about to happen.
Something's happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Q says, we're ready, Your Honor. Basically, they say, you know, Junior can't have his powers back.
Yeah. He didn't make enough progress. They don't make enough progress. They don't think he lived up to what they wanted him to be, basically. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they had certain rules that he had to abide by or certain ways that he had to be. And they felt that that whole thing with the Chakuzin thing was not impressive at all, really. Mm-hmm. So
and Q, his dad, is pissed off.
Yeah. We forgot about the sentencing. The sentencing was that he has to stay human.
Aprilian.
No,
yes.
He would not be transformed
into an Aprilian amoeba. Yeah. Instead, he will suffer the next worst fate
remaining human.
And again, a Janeway eye roll reaction that was hilarious.
The court disappears and Q is furious. He thinks it's an outrage. He disappears too.
And Kate and Janeway puts her arm around Junior, and it was a very sweet little she's got his back still.
Yeah.
We go to the ready room. Janeway's door rings. She says, come in. And
it's Junior.
And Junior comes in and he says, I know you probably don't want me around anymore, but I'd love to continue my training. And she says, well, there's nothing more you can do about the continuum. He goes, no, I want to prove it to you.
Yeah.
She says, what about your dad? And he says, well, I don't think we're going to see him again. He doesn't even, you know, care about me. He's left me here twice.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly Q pops in and says, apologizes for leaving so abruptly.
I love how he says, the question you should be asking is why I keep coming back, which is again, is the glass half full or is it half empty? So there you go. I like that.
But he made an appeal to the court. He appealed their decision and said he doesn't want to be a part of the continuum if they won't accept his son.
Yeah, he played chicken with them. He played hardball. He's like, I'm not going to be part of this continuum if you do not accept my son as well.
And Junior asks, are they going to return my powers? He says they already have. And so Junior conjures up.
Snaps up flowers for the captain.
Yeah. First, we see him in her arms.
Right.
And then as the camera widens out, we see the whole room.
They're everywhere.
Filled with bouquets of roses. And all I could think of was Kate was probably in heaven because she takes those flowers home. And I was like, oh, my God, all these roses. She's going to take all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Junior says he'll see her soon. He'll be back. He'll come again soon. And she says, I really hope so. He disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And then Janeway and Q talk a bit more that he's got eternal custody now of this boy. So even though he calls him a brat, he clearly loves him. And and he says, oh, before I leave, I want to give you this, hands her a pad.
Yeah.
And he's basically given her the instructions or information she needs to shorten their trip. It'll take a few years off the journey. But Janeway's like, why not send us all the way home? And he said, what sort of example would I be setting for my son if I did all the work for you?
I love that line.
He's like, I'll give you a little gift for, you know, a thank you gift.
We shave 5 years off your journey, but not going to show you how to get all the way back.
All the way back.
No.
And then we cut out to space, and it's a slow flyby of Voyager. And I thought, why not like have Voyager? They just got information how to get home. Take just off.
Yeah.
I should have gone to
work. That's so cool. You're right. Yeah. Okay. What is your overall lesson or a lesson that you learned from this episode?
There's a lot of little lessons, but the biggest one for me is like, sometimes you have to ask for help from other people to solve your problems. You can't do things alone. And I think Junior's ego was, he was like a one-man show. He could just do everything himself, and he had to learn to work with other people and care about other people and be a part of a team and have friends like Icheb. And so sometimes you need to ask for help or work with other people.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm going to say sometimes you have to get into someone else's shoes to understand their life experience. Yeah. And this is what he did. This is almost like an episode of Wife Swap in a way, in that he was a Q that went to live with humans, you know what I'm saying? With the humankind, and he was devoid of his powers. He had to see what it was like to live as a human without a single power that he had before. So that was a huge deal for him to grow as a Q, to understand these weak humans that he has to sort of shepherd and guide as a Q in a way. So, So my lesson is, sometimes in order to understand the human condition better, you need to walk in someone else's shoes.
Yeah.
Let's go with your rating. What are you going to give us?
My rating, I really love this episode. I had a lot of fun. The only reason it's not even higher is because I wish we had seen more of the regular cast.
Okay.
Understood. I feel like there was lots of opportunities more of the characters, and some people just literally popped in for a line or two. So I give it a 7.8. But if it had involved a few other characters in some of the vignettes or scenarios or whatever, I think this easily could have gotten an 8.5 or 9 for me. But 7.8 because I really miss a lot of the other crew. And also because I hated the 7 without, you know, when he did the clothes thing.
The gratuitous
scene. Lost a bunch of points there for me.
I hear you. Well, I'm not going to count this. I'm not going to deduct for the 7 scenes. I'm going to acknowledge that those scenes should not have been there. But I'm going to say, because the prior episode that we reviewed, Human Error, was so much of a downer and so low, that actually has affected my rating on this, that I'm actually going higher than I should, I think. So I'm going to put, I'll go 8.3.
8.3? Okay. 7.8, 8.3.
Yes.
Here is our captains and admirals average rating for Q2. I've not looked at this. Here we go. 7.
Lower.
Wow.
Huh.
I would have guessed that they would have gone higher.
Oh, yeah. 7. Wow. Only.
7. Okay. All right. You and I enjoyed this a lot more.
We did.
We had fun. The reasons you said. Yeah, it was fun.
We definitely had fun.
Okay. Okie dokie then.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to our recap and discussion of Q2, and join Robbie and I next week when we recap and discuss the episode Author.
I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. Patreon patrons, stay tuned.